This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. Don't expect us to be nice. Don't expect it to be safe. And don't expect us to be politically correct. Nothing is sacred. We find the queer, profane, and cringeworthy wherever we can, here on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hello, Joysters. You're here on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. Today, it's just me and James. It's a huge sausage fest, James.
Just what, us gang.
What happened? Where is Steph? And did you lose her?
I know.
You lost her. You brought her in your bag and you dropped her. I mean, she's so short. It was bound to happen.
Oh, dear. Poor Steph. And now we've lost Jim. It's just crept up on us.
Oh, it feels like I'm walking around with a phantom limb.
But it's all right. She's not gone for long.
She's not gone for long. Like how we're talking about, like as if he's like as he passed away. Like we walk around with a photo of him. Nah, he's Jim's going to be alive for so much longer. Anyway, we've got a terrific show for you this evening. Thank you so much. We are well into season four now, and we've got a couple of exciting announcements coming up for the rest of the season. We've been talking a lot about stuff, haven't we? Because what Is Nothing Sacred is doing is we're going to bring on some wonderful guest hosts coming up.
We've got a
couple in mind. I've been doing a lot of Twittering. I went back on Twitter. Do you believe this? I went back on Twitter and I wasn't making fun of Lyle Shelton. I was so excited. I mean, the first time I've not sent him, I hate you. I was a little bit more vulgar than that, but community radio, la, la, la. Anyway.
Do you like a big poster on there, or are you just like to just browse and just go?
No, I'm a poster now. Yeah. Mostly it's me making fun of Metro Rail and saying that they're incompetent assholes, pretty much.
It gives that amount of power, doesn't it? It
makes you feel so powerful when no one can attack you, and then you get the messages back. What I got once was a liberal guy wearing, it was genius. I love liberal people because they always don't put their pictures on the Twitter pictures. Have you noticed this? Yeah. That they always just like Australia rules or no Indians or something like that. And may I just point out, I do not condone this. I do not condone this at all. Joy 94.9. Do not condone this. Do not condone racism. That is evil. And look at our country. Anyway, what happened was I was twittering away, and this guy, and I sends back things, you know, going, well, you know, gay people don't have sex, so they don't procreate, so they can't repeat their mistake. And I just remembered. giggling like a schoolgirl and responding back something along the lines of get effed. It was beautiful. So
this is great. We should have just a show with two of us more often.
I think we should.
We get great stories.
Well, you know why? It's because I look at you and, you know, I see a Ken doll in front of me and he's so pretty. Look, getting on to hard facts, though, today I saw something really beautiful that I want to share with everyone today, which was Soji's story, which was, I don't know if anyone's ever seen this, it's a wonderful YouTube video, and it discusses about homosexuality in African nations, which is quite remarkable. And of course, recently we had AIDS 2014 here. We were part of that. We interviewed Nick Rhodes for that one, and yes, US State Senator Matt McCoy.
That was an incredible show.
That was an incredible show. If you want to check out any of the podcasts, although I think that one isn't up.
That one's a work in progress, but everything else is up there.
Definitely
and
up
going.
On joy.org.au/isnothingsacred. Do the plugs. Anyway, around that time, and especially because I was at the AIDS 2014 conference, there was a lot of delegates from African nations. And what happened was there's been quite a few refugees who have stayed on in Australia
for fear of...
And one of them was actually mentioned in the Star Observer today with an article by Ben Riley, wonderful Ben Riley. And it was talking about David, pseudonym for David, from Cameroon, whose partner is still in Cameroon, well, he, from a neighbouring country, but he and he is here seeking asylum. And looking, of course, at the laws that we have at the moment, that is tricky. I remember
certainly tougher.
Yeah, we had a woman who came up to us actually, and I remembered her saying, and her beautiful, you know, I love African accents. They're so mellifluous, and they're wonderful. They just
what
sort
a
of
word.
Yeah, they are mellifluous.
Do tell.
It means like melodic. You know, okay. Like they've got this sing-song aspect, but you know, and they speak very, very. You know, it's that. Oh, it's so gorgeous. And she said, you know, my friend is looking for asylum. Now, I don't know if her friend was her. I won't say that, but nice. I remember just telling her, I am so sorry about our country. We are really bad on the asylum seekers front right now.
Well, and did you see the ad as well, which is like they publish and that we're paying for, effectively?
Yeah, we are. Oh, God, what are we paying for? $1 billion? $1 billion going to...
It's shocking.
It is shocking. Look, I just wanted to point our attention to that because I think that is an incredible issue that a lot of people who of course are bettering the rights of our LGBT, as I like to put it, our beautiful LGBT. We all sit under the rainbow. Ha 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 ha. It's not always like that. But sorry. But looking at our LGBT, looking at other countries especially, we are relatively lucky in Australia. Obviously, keep fighting the good fight. Don't sit on your laurels. Never sit on your laurels. But I think it is great to sort of look at things like that where people in a lot of African nations will be victimized, tortured, murdered, like a whole bunch of things. Corrective rape as well for lesbian women in Africa and bisexual women in Africa, in African nations. I don't know which African nation. Let me just point out they were very vague on the YouTube video.
There's some terrible stuff happening in Uganda, I think, as well. And
most especially in Uganda.
But I think, you know, we had a very interesting show where we touched on the refugee issue from a gay rights point of view. And I think in our community, we do need to, you know, spend a lot more time worrying about this, you know, the instances of sending back, you know, refugees and the current administration into harm's way is a, you know, should be something that our community should be up in arms about. It's just tragic.
Very much so. Look, we will be back shortly. We have a wonderful interview coming up in a moment.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Your Honor, is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9 with Patrick and James. Look, we actually have a wonderful text in. Ba-ba-da-da. Except that Patrick can't get to it because the thing is over the top. No, hold on. Now we do. Beautiful community radio, please sponsor us. Anyway, we have wonderful from someone. I don't know who this person is. Never heard of him before in my life. Someone called Jim Hyde. Don't know who he is. You know, someone. Anyway, it's our wonderful Jim, and he's calling from London, London Calling, which I am a big punk fan. I don't know if you know this, if you've ever glimpsed that I'm a punk fan, James. Do you think? Look at my hair.
Not at all.
You know, am I a punk fan? Anyway, but no, I love The Clash.
Glorious so. Ruby hair.
Yeah, glorious. Thank you. Anyway, and what Jim has said, Soji is a great initiative and deserves international support. And welcome, Jason. And we have him in studio today. Hello, Jason.
Hello, how are you? Hello, how are you?
We're wonderful.
You're on.
I got ushered closer to the mic.
Yes, exactly.
Usher closer. Come closer and bear witness to us.
Don't straddle it.
That's my position, thank you. Anyway, position. Well, it's just
we should get to our topic, though, shouldn't we? Yes,
we
eventually
should. So no. Now we've got one. This is Jason Whitehall in today. And how have you been so far, Jace?
Yeah, great today. Had a great day.
You had a good day. Yep. What we're gonna chat to you today about, Jason, is that you run a Facebook page, and can you tell our listeners what is the Facebook page?
It's basically the ICE or meth awareness support page on Facebook. I call it the epidemic because to me it is the new AIDS epidemic of our community, because it's not killing us so much physically. It's killing us financially and our souls spiritually as well. So, it started after a relapse, after I had... about 10, 12 years ago, I was into crystal meth, and before that it was speed or base speed. And, you know, ICE is, that's why I actually refuse to call it meth, because ICE, it's completely different chemical composition. I can't laugh, but, you know, you get younger guys trying to chat you up on Scruff and stuff like that, and they ask for Tina. And I often chuckle to myself and think, well, Xtina died in the 90s, darling. Xtina used to help you clean your house, not spin in a cycle for 5 days and wonder why you haven't had a sip of your vodka yet.
So Jason, sorry to jump in, but it is, I suppose, well documented now since around, particularly more recently, but you're saying over a long period of time that it's got a lot more addictive and a lot more, you know, potent. Yeah. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
I don't even think it's the same thing.
Mm.
There's even rumour going around that they weigh it down with GHB, which would make it heavier. They'd sell more for less. And there's also rumour that that's what gives the sort of uneasy, giddy feeling, like you're going to faint when you have it if you use it intravenously. And they also say that the chemicals that are in GHB and other things that are in the ice accelerate the 1 in 1,000 people that end up in psych wards.
Mm.
So it's actually making like double, like twofold. Yeah.
For our listeners who are listening tonight, there was something on Four Corners tonight.
That was earlier today.
Yep. That went into particularly the regional, focused on regional areas of Victoria and New South Wales. And you use the word epidemic. I'm sure that they certainly use the term on the Four Corners program, and I think I remember hearing as children as young as 11 getting involved in it. So, you know, obviously you've been off the drugs for how long now? Or
well, you know, like, no one's perfect. I've had a few slip ups, but you know, like I'm never ever going to go back to that. It's probably been 2 years all up since it was really 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 bad. But yeah, I've had it a few times, but, the thing is that when I have had it, it's a really, really aggressive, angry, awful, awful drug. So I don't feel good about having it. It's like, why the hell did I have that? Why did I just waste that money? And why did I stay awake for 5 days?
Yeah.
And I got nothing done at all. It's not productive. It's evil.
So I think that's an important point to sort of look at, is the way that how now it's changed for you very significantly.
Yeah.
That we just want to remind our listeners, obviously.
I often say that there's only one thing worse than a born-again Christian, that's a born-again ice addict.
There's a quote.
Yes, that is a good quote. We just want to remind our listeners tonight that if you do have been affected by ICE in any situation, this Facebook group is actually really perfect to start getting support out there as well. And I think especially from people who are former addicts and have kept
I've even
out
got Paul Aragon, who wrote The Chronicles of a Meth Addict, and from the US. He even guided me on how to, even though he's religious himself and God say, you know, helped him, he even guided me on how to eliminate. And I actually had to, I approached some religious people that were on the page and flooding the page. And that's not what people who are struggling need. They need information straight away. And I ended up having to just delete them.
Why do you think... sorry, James.
I was just going to say, so are you saying that you're giving some credit to some of the tools that you've learnt from that person, but at the same time, your group is not about that, is that right?
Well, I don't want that to be the first face. A person doesn't need someone else's belief system rammed down their throat when they're trying to heal themselves.
I think that's an important point, especially because obviously for some people... religion's really, really important. But in this case, where you're getting someone telling you that, that's probably completely reverse. Speaking quickly of religion, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, my God. Everywhere.
Oh, by the way, can I just point out something? Who knew that God's kingdom was so ugly? Who knew? I mean, you've seen them around. I mean, they just...
Really? All of them?
Well... Oh, they come in. Have you found Jesus? And I said, yes. One morning I woke up and he was sucking me off. It was really quite embarrassing.
But I was actually talking to my sister about it, and we both work down in Docklands, and so that we were just flooded with them.
Of course.
Because they were all coming out of the Etihad Stadium. And
being told about the porn rings and the seedy underside of Melbourne. Do you know this? Do you know this, Jason? There's a seedy underside of Melbourne, apparently.
We're definitely all part of it. Then,
I can only
aren't
imagine.
We?
I'm a good girl normally, but I'm just waiting for someone to teach me to be bad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I say. I just stand out there. It's just that I'm so good, and you know, and do that voice, and all the guys come up and go, no. Anyway, look, moving right along. We did get sidetracked. I'm so sorry, but I had to make my point about the Jehovah's Witnesses.
We never get sidetracked. On this show,
we always get sidetracked on this.
Just blame the Jews, they killed Jesus.
What?
Nothing.
Do not say that. We do not condone that, Jason. Don't.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You are, and there's nothing sacred here on Joy 94.9. This has been wonderful so far, James. We've been in the saddle by ourselves with Steph not telling us what to do.
Mm-hmm. Not doing too bad.
Not doing too bad.
Steph will be proud of us.
I think she will be.
But Steph, we do miss her. I do want her to come back.
Steph is kind of like our gym now.
She is, in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, she might hate us saying that.
No, you know,
or love. I'm not sure. She may partly both ways.
I think it's going to be both ways. It's always better both ways. Now,
Jason. You're still Jason, here?
Yes. We wanted to talk to you also, Jason, particularly in on your Facebook page, which is Stop the Virus, the Epidemic, that there was a story that you posted up about your niece particularly being exposed to this. Now, how old is your niece?
She's 14.
14. And can you explain to our listeners what was the circumstances of this situation?
Well, I went over to pick my niece and my nephew up in Belgrave Heights, and I kind of like, you know, I'm pretty open with them. I talk about lots of things with them, and I just brought up that I thought it was really good that there might be legislation or that new law that if it's brought in for somebody trying to deal ice or sell ice to a minor, they get 25 years mandatory sentence. I think it was a Labor initiative. I didn't say that to her. But yeah. Anyway, and she said that, yeah, it was everywhere at her school.
At a school?
Yeah. She goes to a school in Croydon. I'm still in talks with her mother and stuff about, and I've talked to the principal. So, we've got to also take into consideration, we don't know. Anyway, I'll finish the story. Mm. She said ice is everywhere, but she wants to be an individual, which made me feel pretty proud. But what made me kind of, it really kind of threw me and upset me, that she told me that she didn't really want to go to school anymore because there was a 16-year-old girl there and trying to push ice onto her and to other students. And when my niece told her that she wanted to be an individual and she didn't want it, apparently the other girl said that she would go her with a dirty syringe. And that is prison talk, and that's disgusting. That's
frightening. Very frightening, especially for a 14-year-old child. That's ridiculous.
And what kind of response? You said you spoke to the principal. How have you found?
I spoke to the principal's assistant. Sorry. Mm. Yeah.
And how did they respond?
They actually wanted the name of the girl and the time, and I wasn't prepared to give that up. That's why I'm still in talks with her mum, because I've got to think, you know, you've got to think, we don't know whether this girl is actually connected to a really bad family and she's actually being told to peddle it through the family. And, you know,
we
know, she could be, you know, related to the Pettingills, you know.
so their response wasn't any broader than that?
Just said that if you come up with the name and the date or the incident, then we'll take action. Which I thought was pretty lame. I would have thought that if you had somebody in your school dealing ice, you'd want to search lockers at a minimum.
You'd hope that would be the situation. I think that's one of those things that, I mean, you are on the train now, of course, and you see those big signs that are out there at the moment, which talks a lot about ice addiction. And it is something that seems to be becoming far more prevalent in our conversation, which is probably a good thing, though, that it's becoming more prevalent. I mean, when it started for yourself, you said, was back in the 90s, and that was, of course, just... What was it known as then for that one? That was when it was...
At first, it was just... that was just... You know, in the hospitality industry, it just was a bit of fun to have a line of speed, you know, like, you know, in the kitchen with the chef. That was what it was. And then it was... you know, then it turned to base speed, which, and then it was crystal meth, which that's why I'm really confused, because it's not the same thing. It's not. And anyone that knows what it was like back then, it knows that I'm telling the truth.
That
it's
it was
not
very
the
different.
Same.
Well, I just found interesting what you were saying, Pat, that there was actually a drugs conference, the annual Australian Drugs Conference in Melbourne, and they looked at this particularly, and that they were talking about the advertising campaigns, which are big budget campaigns to advise the community, you know, and you know, create awareness and things. But they were actually saying out of the drugs conference that because of the nature of this epidemic, if you would like to call it that, that it would be better spending that money on, you know, smaller scale focused help for the people that are affected.
I think the thing
which is interesting.
Well, from what I'm gathering, I would assume that it kind of paints this very, very negative image. Well, I mean, obviously it's very negative. But
I heard somewhere that it's something like 7 or 8% increase this year alone in Victoria. I've done statistics at university. That's not low.
No, but it's something that I think where they kind of you given this connotation of someone who uses ice, and it's just they're not like it. I think the mainstream public sort of will go, oh, they're obviously not worth it or something like that, and that's totally not true. Like, you need to have these great support networks here for people, especially. I mean, in this circumstance, I mean, talking with yourself, I mean, this is wonderful. You're bringing out the Facebook group out for here.
I was lucky enough to have my mum and my family. So, if you've got that, you should use it. Or your friends. Or if you know someone that is lost in that spiral, and you can tell just by pictures or whatever, or their posts are becoming erratic and inconsistent on Facebook, or just you know that they're getting too far gone, drive over to their house if you love them and slap them. Slap them in the face like a drag queen and say, what the frick are you doing, bitch? You might look skinny and you might be in skinny jeans, but you're losing your mind.
Yeah. I had a situation, this is a personal story actually, where one of my first early sexual experiences was with one of my teachers. And no, this isn't funny. This is true, James.
I'm not laughing.
No, but what happened was he tried to give me ice, because for him it increased his sexual pleasure.
Well, some people, it becomes like prostitution. They can't have sex unless they get paid, or they can't have sex unless they have drugs.
And with this situation, I called someone and I said, because I was like 17 and no clue, and I said, what do I do? And he basically said, you take this and I will no longer speak with you. It was that very kind of... But I think it was him doing the tough love. I'm sure if I did it, he would still be there. But it was just him going, no, I'm not letting you do that. And that, I think, having a really that really strong support network is really important, even for prevention. Let alone then if you have lapsed into that, to be able to bring you out. Especially, I mean, you're wonderful to have your family around you.
Mm-hmm.
And groups like this on your Facebook group, that must be also really important, because I suppose. I mean, you've talked about yourself that in your particular incident recently, it was very reclusive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking with another person who was an ice addict, and he talks a lot about the fact that he had to kind of separate himself out from those groups, because it ended up being a group that you all shot up, and then you were in this group together. And he said, I had to break away from that and stop being in that situation to get myself out of there.
Find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
What we're going to jump on to now, we're back with Jason, who we're going to talk a little bit about your time at First Step.
It wasn't a prison or anything.
No. I'm not saying it was a prison. I'm not saying it was a prison.
For our listeners, what is it though?
What is First Step? Tell us.
Well, Well, from what I know of, there's two of them in Melbourne that provide these services. One's called Turning Point. I think it's behind Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to that one. But I went to First Step, which was in St Kilda. And basically, it's just they just have doctors for free, even lawyers if you need help, if it's even made it a little bit worse for you. But it was the first, like, I've had, like, mental health issues in the past and depression and stuff, but it was really the first place that that treated me like an equal. It wasn't because I was educated. It was because they obviously know they have to deal with something that's really serious in the community. And I saw a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and then it was like a bouncing, ping-pong balancing act of a myriad of different drugs that I was bouncing off and on and up and down until my brain basically stopped shaking inside my cranium, and I was able to feel a little bit normal, and that's how serious this stuff is.
First off, for our listeners, if you do need to contact the First Step program, you can call them on 9537 3177. They are located on 42 Carlisle Street in St Kilda. And also, if you need to email them, it's info@firststepprogram.org. And also for Turning Point, which is another organisation, Turning Point for them, their contact one is at 57 to 62 Gertrude Street in Fitzroy. And their phone number is 8413 8413, which makes life a little bit easy, doesn't it? It's quite good. An email info.
That number again?
Sorry?
That number again.
That number again, yes. And the email for the info_group@turningpoint.org.au. And we will put up those links also on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/isnothingsacred on Joy 94.9. Now, I wanted to chat a little bit more about First Step. In particular, you talked to us earlier about the fact that there you felt more like on equal footing with them, which was very important for your recovery, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they didn't condescend to me.
Why do you think that people would start condescending in the first place?
Well, it's just something that I've noticed. It's almost like they're doing Psych 101. So they're like got their little book and they're ticking off all the little boxes. Mm. And I'm not a number. I'm a human. And that's how they treated me.
It seems kind of a little bit like that sort of old school psychoanalyst where you can kind of, you know, A, B, and C, which I think is kind of unusual, especially when you look at people who live with mental illness or mental health disorders. I found it because I've been diagnosed with histrionic personality disorder, which I've basically translated for myself as attention-seeking whore. But what it really means, but the problem is that, you know, they get all the symptoms, but you think that you have to take each one. No, it's a symptom. It doesn't mean that it means that you may exhibit. And that's the thing with mental health. It's still very kind of, I sometimes think they're kind of poking in the dark. Does this seem right? Does this seem right? So, but your experience was very positive with First Step because they did treat you with equality, with respect, and listen to you, and not just sort of went with the, oh, he's got this click.
Well, the main doctor there, Dr. Gunsberg, is actually, he's a little bit like a cartoon character, actually. It's like the Walrus, because he's like a bunk.
You mean the Walrus from The Walrus and the Carpenter?
Yeah. Like one.
Does he eat lots of oysters?
No, seriously, he's got like one glass eye, and it's like looking one way, and the other eye's looking the other way. You want to call him 3:45, but it's just like, no, that'd be really rude. Yeah. But no, he's a really, really nice guy who kind of rolls around with his big, big Walrus tummy, and then but his wife has mental health issues, so he knows what it's like, so he's got more compassion. So he rolls around in his chair and then he'll just like stop, and his one eye will look at you and then ask you a question, and it's quite funny.
I like when you can look at the, well, that I think there has to be a certain humanity in that. So instead of just being able to, you know, I think humanity, you have to take the highs and the lows as well, and especially I know with therapy that I've had, having the time to laugh, having the time to cry are both equally important in those situations.
Definitely.
And I think that's wonderful that you had that experience.
Oh, well, yeah, I think they actually crossed a lot of, like, ethical borders. Like, he gave me cuddles and everything. So.
That's probably an ethical border. But
I think
I got to say,
they do it because they love it. And, it's a non-government organisation. It's not like they're getting paid, like, normal doctor's rates to do this.
And I got to say, sometimes you want to, well, I'm gathering from my experiences that I've had, sometimes you want, you need that human contact to make you feel valid, to make you feel wanted, to make you feel like you've...
Well, you have to touch something to fix it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Eventually, though, well, that's not going to be the case, isn't it? We're going to end up in a Thunderbirds type situation where we're behind glass and we're...
Oh, that'd be ace.
Wouldn't that be great, actually? We could be like marionettes. Anyway, I feel like I'm going to cross something off there. Sorry, I recently watched Thunderbirds. I'm very, very excited.
That's actually how I felt on some of the drugs they had me on to get me off it. Like, mm-hmm. I had involuntary movement and spasms and, and I scared a lot of my friends and family on the phone and in real life because I couldn't talk properly. Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they had me on Seroquel and stuff to cushion my brain and all these other things. And yeah. Anyway, my story might be a little bit more intense, but I mean.
But it's your story and it's equally as valid.
Yeah.
And it's, I suppose, a really important thing for people to who are going through this to know that you've gotten through it.
Hmm.
You know, and that's, I think, what's most important out of all of it.
Yeah. You were talking about how your friend was had a lot of friends, whereas I was more insular.
Yeah.
And how I was, how we also touched on how it used to be crystal meth and there used to be other drugs way back then, way back in the warehouse party days and the docks and Shed 14, which a lot of your older people will know. There was lots of parties. It was mixed. Everyone was there to have fun. There was disco balls and... Everyone loved each other. Yeah. So I'm not saying that I'm an advocate for other things. I'm just suggesting that I may have used other crutches to help me get away from that insidious evil.
And I would suppose that certainly what they gave you, what were the drugs that you were talking about that were helping to cushion your brain?
They weren't helping at all.
Okay.
The Seroquel was not helping at all. It was actually calling. I was having severe dystonic reactions and paradoxical effects,
mm-hmm.
where it was giving me involuntary movements and spasms, and I could have fitted and bit my tongue off. That's serious.
Yeah, but looking obviously, moving forward, I think the important thing is now though that it's whatever's happened has happened, and you've been able to keep moving forward. You had a great support network there, with your mother, with your family as well. It's been really, really wonderful. And some people who don't have that, at least now they've got a community online where you can find that with your Facebook group, with other places where you can chat about it and be able to have that support system there and finding the people outside of there.
And Jason, you were saying earlier about the disco ball. I think that one of the things that resonated with me is that it's about, I suppose a lot of people assume that when they start off and they go into this stuff, it's about fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
well, it's not fun when you're in a sex club, or you know, you wake up with like five strangers in your house and you don't even know who they are. That's not fun. There's no disco balls involved, and no clever lighting, and there's no music. And I can tell you that if there is music, it's going to be a requiem.
So keep the disco balls, keep the music, keep having fun,
but be safe and don't.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We want disco balls, not anything more.
I want balls.
Shiny disco balls.
What? I'm so
lonely. How do we get onto balls?
I'm so lonely.
You
know what it's like.
You are not.
Yes, I am. I look over to the side of the bed and it's got and I just look and just go, where have I gone? Where is all my sex appeal gone? Where is it gone? I look at the only time I can get someone to have heavy breathing, it's when they're having an asthma attack. It's so upsetting. Anyway, sorry, I was being camp self.
No, I want to actually touch on the Facebook page as well. We were talking about it off air. Because really, I helped myself. I shamed myself. I went back to my mum. I told her it's happening again after 12 years, whatever. I had that support. You don't have to take any shame in admitting that you have a problem, whether it's to your friends or your family, or to First Step or Turning Point. But it says on the Facebook page, it's like a mission statement, I guess, that you can't really, no addict can really stop unless they hit a brick wall a million miles an hour with no airbags, and they hit it pretty hard and they'll wake up. But yeah, when you come the other side of that, it's a little bit cathartic. You feel like you want to save the world and save everybody, and you can't. You can't save all of your friends, but you can try, and that's a good thing, I think.
That's, yeah, well, that's and, a fantastic...
And also, you know, like, if you slip up, like, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, you'll come back.
It doesn't matter. And, yeah, there's always people there that will help you.
Mm. We'll be right back. We're just about to finish up here tonight. We're just going to be right back after these messages. You're on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. The time is 4 minutes to 11, which means we're almost out of action.
We are?
Well, just for tonight.
Out of action.
No, no, it makes it sound like as if we're, you know, we're running away, joining a circus, that kind of thing.
And you don't stop. You don't go out of action after this.
Oh,
You're back tomorrow, as you said.
Yes, I'm back tomorrow, and I'll be talking about the Tilde Festival, which is going to be fantastic, with Emma, which is going to be really great, at Tuesday at 11. At 8, sorry. 11 is another show. Completely. Anyway.
Well, we must thank our guest tonight, Jason Whitehall. Thanks so much, Jason, for coming on. It was a really eye-opening show for me, and I just hope that that there's been... You know, even a couple of listeners out there that have taken, you know, some help out of tonight, and yeah, fantastic.
All right, then. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Jason. Thank you so much for joining us. And quickly, for people who want any more information for the Facebook group, quickly remind us.
Sure, you're going to put it up, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to put it up.
Absolutely.
Definitely. But it's called ICE Stop the Virus Epidemic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Along those lines.
Yeah, so it's a Facebook group, so you can click to join, and I'm sure Jason will welcome you with open arms.
There's a few different admin. We have people that have holistic therapies, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you so much. You have been listening to Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.